Well, good morning, everyone. I am going to call this meeting to order. This is the February 2nd, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. My name is Andy Kottkamp, and I've been appointed by the Chelan County Board of Commissioners to serve as a land use hearing examiner, and my job is to render decisions on various applications that are authorized to come before me, and those include appeals of administrative decisions. That's what we have on the agenda for today. Now, I consider any testimony and evidence presented at today's hearing, as well as all the written materials that are already on file, in order to make my decision. The hearings today are a bit special because they are appeals of administrative decisions, and these appeals are matters between the county and the appellant. So while the public is invited to view these proceedings, there will not be a public testimony portion of the hearing. I want everybody to be aware of that. The way the hearing is going to proceed is that I'll allow staff to make an initial presentation as to the decision that was made, and then the applicant or the appellant, who has the burden of proof to show error in the county's decision, will be given an opportunity to present their testimony and evidence. And then I'll allow the county an opportunity to submit any final comments or rebuttal, and then I will allow the appellant to have the last word, and because they do have the burden of proof. If somebody's going to testify and get for factual evidence, I will swear them in as a witness and ask you that you keep your testimony relevant to this application and not to other issues beyond the scope of the proposal. I have the option to keep the record open if I think there's a need for additional written materials to be submitted, but in any event, my written decision will be made within 10 working days after I close the public record. I've reviewed all three items that are on today's agenda. I don't have any interest in any of the properties or the proposals to be heard today. I'll be able to fairly and objectively consider each item. And outside of receiving and reviewing the staff report for each item, along with all the attachments to the staff report, which generally included all the appeal materials, all the materials that were reviewed by the county in making their administrative decision. For each item, there has each of the appellants are represented by attorneys who have submitted supplemental briefing and declarations and those items. So other than receiving and reviewing essentially those planning staff files of record, I've not had any communication regarding any of the items that are on today's agenda. So those representations, if there is anybody here who objects to my participation as the hearing examiner for any item on today's agenda, you need to unmute yourself and state so at this time. All right, hearing none, we'll turn to the first item on today's agenda. This is some combined administrative appeals. There's AA21251 and AA21386. I received an email on January 24th from the county indicating that there was a joint request to continue this matter until April 6, 2022 at 9 a.m. And it was requested that I do it on the record at this hearing. So I'm going to do that. So those two matters will be continued by this mutual request to April 6, 2022 at 9 a.m. And we'll turn to the second item on today's agenda. This is an administrative appeal given application number AA21-568. This is a request for administrative appeal regarding a denial of a short-term rental permit as an existing non-conforming short-term rental. This relates to property located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report, as well as in all of those appeal materials. For the record, I will admit into the record at this time all of the initial application materials of the applicant, the denial letter, the denial materials. There are comments that have been made. There's noticing documents. There is a staff report, of course. There's a revised staff report. There's appeal brief that was sent to me yesterday about 3:30. That will be admitted into the record. There's a supplemental declaration of Mr. Latta that will be a part of the record. And there was a letter sent by Destination Leavenworth that was sent to me yesterday. And I'm going to allow that to be made a part of the part of the record because it appears to be on behalf or something from the applicant's representative. So those items will be admitted into the record at this time by this reference, and I'll turn this matter over to Ms. Riles for a the county's position.
Good morning, thank you. If we could just pick up where we left off on January 5th. During the January 5th appeal hearing, the attorney for the appellant presented supplemental declaration. So staff have reviewed that declaration, and I'd like to note that on page 4, item 29, the appellant states that Destination Leavenworth had secured a conditional use permit that allowed continuing vacation rentals. We did research that. No such CUP could be found, and we searched via parcel number, address, current owner's name, and previous owner's names. While researching for the CUP, conditional use permit, we also found a code enforcement case that was opened in 2017, case number CE17-0060, for operating a vacation rental without a permit. And log notes for that case on June 5th of 2019 indicate that the appellant called code enforcement to check on the status of the case and was told at that time that the county would enforce the adopted UGA codes. Now, Mr. Latta contends that he's been in business since 2005. The Leavenworth Municipal Code did not allow the STR use in the zone that he's in at that time either. So staff would recommend that the decision be upheld, the denial be upheld based that the applicant was not qualifying for the status, and in joint review with Leavenworth and finding that the short-term rental business activity is not allowed in the zone which his property is located. Further, the appellant was never legally operating and thus does not qualify for the existing non-conforming status.
That code enforcement, you said that was 2017?
Yes, sir.
And when did the notes say that Mr. Latta was advised that the county would continue the code or would continue to pursue the code enforcement action?
That was the log notes for June 5th, 2019 is when they spoke with Mr. Latta.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Hitchcock, is the appellant applicant ready to proceed?
Yes, we are, Mr. Kottkamp. Good morning. And Mr. Latta is here with me and available to respond to any questions that you might have. Although since he testified in the January 5th hearing already, we do not anticipate calling him as a witness again.
Understood. Okay.
Additionally, Mr. Kottkamp, I may have misheard you. I just want to clarify, when you were listing the items in the record, I didn't hear you mention the Mr. Latta's motion requesting a continuance of this hearing.
That motion was denied.
And we would merely request that is included in the record if it is not.
Yeah, I admitted the entire planning staff file, but specifically I will include a motion for continuance that I received. I believe I received it on Friday, but I was in all day hearings on Friday, Monday, and half of Tuesday. So I didn't see it until yesterday afternoon. So the motion for continuance will be admitted into the record. The declaration in support of the motion for continuance, that's Mr. Hitchcock's declaration, will be admitted into the record. And the hearing examiner's decision of February 1st denying the motion for continuance will also be made a part of the record. Thank you, Mr. Hitchcock.
Thank you for clarifying, Mr. Hearing Examiner. One other note on the record before we get started in what will hopefully be a pretty brief legal argument.
The log records
the county just mentioned from the Mr. Latta's 2019 communications with code enforcement. I did not see those log records in the staff report. And as you know, having just recently reviewed the request for continuance, Mr. Latta has requested the county's file regarding his property and his short-term rental application. And we would hope that those log records would be in that communication. So we would request that, Mr. Hearing Examiner, that you keep the record open long enough for Mr. Latta to provide, to include those public record responsive documents in the record. And it may be a month. So the City of Leavenworth responded to us this week and indicated March 1st would be the earliest date they thought they would be able to provide a complete response. So I would just simply request that you keep the record open for inclusion of Mr. Alotta's public record request materials.
I'll let the county respond to that, and then I'll make a decision on that at the end of the hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Hearing Examiner. Moving on to the legal argument here, Mr. Hearing Examiner, and Mr. Alotta doesn't dispute that he began operating a short-term rental in 2005. We do challenge that code was not enforceable as to him, and that it was ambiguous as to what constituted transient rental and what was and was not allowed. However, Mr. Alotta's short-term rental is an existing non-conforming use under the plain language of the code, regardless of whether he was operating legally in the Leavenworth UGA when he started in 2005, because Chilean County Code on short-term rentals, section 1188-290-2E-2A, defines what a non-conforming short-term rental must prove or what must occur for it to qualify as a non-conforming short-term rental. And subsection 2 of that section states, a zone does not expressly allow new short-term rental units per subsection 2C, and which means that Mr. Alotta is a non-conforming use because the zone he was operating in does not expressly allow short-term rentals. Now, the county may argue that the term non-conforming or existing non-conforming use is defined elsewhere. Specifically, it is defined in Chapter 14 of the Chelan County Code. And under the definition in Chapter 14 of this Chelan County Code, Mr. Alotta's use would not qualify as non-conforming because it was not initiated if the Leavenworth zoning code was enforceable against him. It was initiated after that code was adopted. However, in this case, the definition of an existing non-conforming use for a short-term rental is specifically defined in Chelan County Code 1188-290-2E, little 2, subsection A. And that section is applicable here under the long-recognized theory of statutory construction, which holds that when a statute is ambiguous, i.e. where there are multiple definitions for the same term within the same legislative code, the more specific statute prevails over the general one. And additionally, the timing is relevant to the consideration. And here, the Chelan County adopted its definition in Chapter 14 for non-conforming well before it adopted its definition for an existing non-conforming use in the short-term rental regulation code, chapter 1188. And as far as a case law citation that supports that legal theory of statutory construction, see OST XREL GT versus Blue Shield, that's 181 Wash 2D 691. And Your Honor, Mr. Hearing Examiner, I would merely just conclude by saying Mr. Alotta has been operating his short-term rental in an area that isn't currently, or that does not expressly allow short-term rentals. By that very nature, his short-term rental is allowed to continue operating under the plain language of the county's short-term rental code. And I'll concede the rest of my time to the county to respond to my request to keep the record open.
So let me just make sure I understand this, because when I read your supplemental brief yesterday, I had the same question. You're saying that because he was operating an illegal, unpermitted short-term rental in 2005 continuously, that the code now allows him to be eligible as a non-conforming use that is automatically allowed a permit? Is that truly the appellant's position?
Mr. Hearing Examiner, based on the plain language of Chelan County short-term regulations, yes, that is our argument. Under subsection 2E, little 2A, an existing short-term rental operating as of 9/27/21 is considered non-conforming when one or more of the following are met, and that is subsection 2. A zone does not expressly allow new short-term rental units per subsection 2C. And so, yes, Your Honor, the county concedes that Mr. Latta was operating prior to 9/27/2021. It does not, the plain language of the code does not require that Mr. Latta's operation be permitted by the city of Leavenworth, or in addition to that, there was no process, as we discussed in the January 5th hearing, for Mr. Latta to register as a short-term rental. His short-term rental operator is a Destination Leavenworth in the city of Leavenworth, and they secure the business licenses that they need to operate as a business in Chelan or in the city of Leavenworth. However, Mr. Latta, being outside of the city, was ineligible for that same recognition. And until the county adopted these short-term rental regulations, there was no process he could follow at the county level to register either.
All right, one last thing. Does Mr. Latta now agree that he the property did not have a conditional use permit? Or is he still taking the position that there was a conditional use permit, although none's been presented to me as evidence?
I believe that the conditional use permit was Destination Leavenworth's conditional use permit, and Mr. Latta was under the understanding that using Destination Leavenworth as his operator entitled him to the operational benefits of that same conditional use permit. But we do concede that he did not specifically obtain a conditional use permit for a short-term rental.
Okay.
That's our, yeah.
All right, anything else at this time?
Nothing else at this time, Mr. Hearing Examiner.
All right, thank you very much. Does the county have any response?
Mr. Hearing Examiner, this is Marcus Foster on behalf of Chelan County. We do have a response on keeping the record open. I believe that the request for new documents was submitted last week or so. That could have been done weeks or months ago. And now we have an open-ended commitment to keeping it open if the record is open, is left open. Until the city of Leavenworth and Chelan County can provide those documents. It for the purposes of expediency and because this operation of Mr. Latta is illegal, we request that the record not be kept open.
All right, thank you very much. Anything further from the county on the legal position taken by the appellant?
Well, Mr. Hearing Examiner, I think it's frankly ridiculous to say that because it was an illegal operation, now it is legal for him to operate. That's frankly an absurd position to take. Of course, in the code, there must be a legal operation in order to establish a non-conforming use. That's the definition of non-conforming. In the case law, in the code, and in the STR code. So the position of the appellant in this case just doesn't make sense. And again, we just request that the decision of the county be upheld.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Foster. Mr. Hitchcock, anything further?
No, Mr. Hearing Examiner, I would merely just redirect you to the plain language, the actual words in the code.
Thank you very much. I will be taking a very, very careful look at the code. Obviously, codes need to be interpreted according to their specific terms, but they also need to be interpreted so as not to have absurd or at the very least unintended results or consequences. But I will take a very, very careful look at that. As far as the request to keep the record open, for the same reasons why I denied the request for the continuance, I'm going to deny the request to keep the record open at this time. But anyway, and if those, Mr. Hitchcock, obviously, if if the decision is upheld and that is appealed and public records request does reveal some documents that you feel are relevant, then Superior Court is more than happy, I'm sure, to send this back down to me to consider that new evidence. So I don't think there's any harm to the appellant in the event that I affirm the denial, which I don't know what I'm going to do. So just let you know that. All right. Any questions, Mr. Hitchcock?
Mr. Cockcamp, so you're going to close the record today so that we can expect your decision within 10 days?
Within the next 10 working days, that's
correct. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that. So Mr. Latta and I knew had set our expectations appropriately.
Okay. All right. Mr. Foster, anything further before I close the record?
No, Mr. Hanging Examiner.
All right, what I am going to do then is I'm going to close the public record portion of this hearing. I will have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. Given the nature of the appeal, I think the parties probably should expect a decision coming out at the later end of that 10 days. I'm going to take some time to look at this very carefully. All right, we have one more item on today's agenda. This is also an appeal of an administrative decision given application number AA21575. This is an appeal of a denial of a short-term rental permit for an existing non-conforming short-term rental or alleged non-conforming short-term rental. Relates to property located within Chelan County that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. And for the record, I will admit into the record at this time, not only the original application materials, but the denial, the materials upon which the denial have been based. There have been comments that have come through, noticing documents. There was a supplemental letter to the hearing examiner that was sent to me late yesterday afternoon. That'll be a part of the record. There's attachment A, that will also be that was attached to that supplemental letter that will also be made a part of the record at this time. And again, I'll turn this over to Ms. Riles for the staff presentation. If it is Ms. Riles or Mr. Foster, I'm not sure who's going to do this.
Thank you. So on November 14th of 2021, materials were received from the appellant for an existing non-conforming short-term rental permit. December 1st, upon review, it was found by staff that the applicant did not hold a vacation vacation rental or VR permit in the relevant time frame. On December 1st, 2021, department staff denied the permit as ineligible for application status. And on December 14th, administrative appeal was filed with Chelan County with the associated application fees. Staff recommends denial be upheld based on the applicant not qualifying for the status based on Chelan County Code 1188-290 and his non-compliance with obtaining the required vacation rental permit in Manson to operate legally, therefore not having the required permit in the relevant time frame.
All right, thank you very much. Ms. Norton, is the applicant ready to proceed?
The applicant's ready.
All right. Can you identify yourself for the record and let me know if you're going to be providing testimony or if I need to swear you in as a witness?
go ahead and swear me in. I don't understand Mr. Bernstein to be testifying today, but he is here in the event there's questions I can't answer.
Sure. So I'll have you raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you get today will be the truth?
I do.
All right. Thank you very much. And Ms. Norton, you're here as an agent authorized to appear and speak on behalf of the property owners and the appellants and applicants today. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, thank you. And what would you like to tell me?
So just briefly, our office represents Aaron Bernstein, the owner of the property at 557 Manson Boulevard. This property, as you know, is within the Manson UGA. Mr. Bernstein's available, but doesn't necessarily intend to testify. He purchased the property in Manson at issue in about 2002. He initially used it for personal use and then in 2008 started using it for short-term rental. He's operated the property as a short-term rental continuously since 2008. This was an allowed use in the zone or not a prohibited use in that zone at the time. In 2009, the county commenced a comprehensive plan review and zoning code update that included a requirement that the owners within the Manson UGA obtain a permit if they're using their property for a short-term rental. Because this took place as part of a comprehensive plan or zoning amendment, there wasn't particularized notice of the permit requirements given to property owners. Instead, it was the general notice procedure used, publication in a local paper, which if you're not living locally, you're probably not going to see. So lo and behold, in 2009, the county adopted a comprehensive plan amendment that took effect in 2010, which required Manson area properties to obtain a vacation rental permit. And this is just a annual permit, $500 a year, to be able to operate their property as a short-term rental. Unfortunately, Mr. Bernstein was just simply not aware of the permit requirement until last year after the moratorium was already in place. Even if he'd been aware, without directed notice from the county, he could have reasonably assumed that his use was grandfathered without a permit. He'd been operating the STR on the property before the Manson permit regulation went into effect, and there's no language in that regulation that it was retroactive or that he would not be grandfathered. I believe we briefed this in our letter. The presumption on legislation is that it's got a prospective application. So he could have reasonably assumed that because he's already operating and the county is well aware of his operation, that he was in compliance with what with operating in the Manson area. He continued to operate it for 10 years without this permit and without ever receiving a notice of a need to obtain a permit from the county. And the county, I know, has made the argument that, well, we're not required to enforce the code or to provide notice, but it could have been easily provided in something like like utility flyers or something. When he remitted his lodging tax every year, the county could have said, hey, by the way, get a permit, or sent a letter. You know, businesses that are out of compliance with their licensing receive notices of the need to relicense all the time. A pet owner receives a notice of a need to relicense all the time. So there are easy ways without invoking a full code enforcement process that the county could have notified Mr. Bernstein of the need for this ministerial permit. The county's knowledge of his use of the property as an STR not only is due to the fact that he regularly paid the lodging taxes over the course of the 10 years that he operated, but the county's own consultant, Burke, prepared a report for the county while working on the STR zoning regulations, and his property is identified in that report. It's both marked by pins and spreadsheets. So the county's had ample opportunity to know that he's been operating this STR on the property. At minimum, they should have communicated the requirement to obtain the permit prior to placing the moratorium. Ultimately, the moratorium was imposed in August of 2020 and froze all permitting. This means that Mr. Bernstein couldn't have obtained a permit to come into compliance at any point once it was in effect. And again, this is despite knowing the location of the STR based on the consultant research and his payment of the taxes. So while the moratorium's in place, the county developed its regulations. And these regulations not only caused Mr. Bernstein's property to become non-conforming, but also terminated the use without phasing or amortization. And what I mean by that is his property previously was allowed to operate. It wasn't a non-conforming use in the zone. The reason, if any, it was non-conforming is he simply just lacked this permit. So this regulation, the moratorium goes into effect. He doesn't have the permit. And so now the regulation goes into effect and says, you're non-conforming to the zone and you needed to have a permit but he can't obtain the permit. So now he's non-conforming and he can't operate. So by imposing the moratorium, they both classified the property as non-conforming and terminated the use summarily. So this inability to cure a minor code or licensing violation which ironically may not even exist, is inconsistent with the treatment of other STR owners. And the reason I say it may not even exist is the new regulations don't appear to require a Manson area specific permit. So his application has been denied for failure to obtain this permit by a particular time frame, which they made impossible during the imposition of the moratorium when they had specific knowledge that his property was operating without the permit. And yet this permit is no longer going to be required. So he's penalized for something that doesn't exist anymore. And but for having previously paid this permit, his property would be in full compliance with the statute. So as I mentioned, the inability to cure the minor code violation is inconsistent with treatment that other short-term rental owners that are applying for these permits has also been given. Most other owners seeking these permits have been allowed to cure, have been given at least a one-year window to cure permit violations, code violations on their property, whereas these Manson owners, simply because of the failure to obtain the permit, are not. And we think that all STR owners should be similarly situated in that you should have your notice and opportunity to cure, especially if it's one like this that was legally operating in the zone prior to the moratorium. I believe I mentioned that there's an appeal pending before the Growth Management Hearings Board as to how these regulations were adopted, because there is serious concern that the county had knowledge of some of these properties and then tailored regulations during the moratorium process without going through public notice to make sure that particular properties were just simply incapable of obtaining these short-term rental licenses. So there's that, I believe, will be decided at the end of the month, which in some ways begs the question whether these matters should all be continued to find out if these regulations are even valid. But regardless, the deprivation of the property is significant and potentially unlawful. This Manson permit was $500 per year. Mr. Bernstein received tens of thousands of annual rental income from the property, and the county benefited from it. They happily receded his tax money, which was well in excess of the Manson permit. And they did it for 10 years, knowing that permit was required. It's just this technicality is simply not a valid reason to deny this non-conforming use permit for this otherwise compliant property. And almost in closing, really, because this permit's not even going to exist, it seems like he should be able to cure, whether it's pay a fine or a fee and continue to operate it. It's just simply, it's an unlawful both designation of a non-conforming use and termination of the use because you've given him no reasonable means to cure. And then just to address, I know there were some comments in the record, and I just want to make sure that the hearing examiner knows that the neighbor comments have been addressed. One neighbor was mistaken as to the permit, not the taxes. He's always paid the taxes. This is one of the owners that does take good care of his rental property. He monitors it with video cameras and is unable to corroborate the parking allegations. He says the only time there's really more parking than usual is when he's personally using it for private events. So the renters, in fact, there's rarely, if ever, complaints. So he's managing it very well. So with that, we ask that the denial be rescinded. It's an unreasonable consequence for an innocent act, and that the county made impossible to cure.
All right. A couple of questions. First of all, I'm always very firm that I am not allowed to make up new laws or regulations. Is there something in the code that gives me the authority to allow a cure, or is that because I don't have equitable authority either? I can't order, make orders in equity. So is there something in the code that says, yes, the hearing examiner has the ability to order a time frame for a cure?
You're right, Mr. Hearing Examiner. There's not a clear remedy. The code says what it says, and we realize it says what it says, but we also believe that that's unlawful, and I don't think the hearing examiner wants to do something unlawful, and you do have the authority to approve, deny, or condition an approval, so long as the condition is based on statutory requirements or peer-reviewed science, and we believe some of the authority we've cited in our letters provides some statutory authority. You know, unlawful takings are a very clear statutory authority. So, no, we understand that the dilemma the hearing examiner has in this.
Okay. A couple more questions. So I want to confirm, has the appellant found any legal requirement in the code or elsewhere for the county to require the county to provide individual notice to Mr. Bernstein of any pending moratorium or legislative action?
Individualized notice, no.
Not. Okay. And I've not researched this for a long, long time, so I'm going to ask this out of somewhat ignorance, but ironically, is it still the rule that ignorance of the law is no excuse for not complying with the law?
I can't cite to any specific authority, but I'm well aware of the premise, and we understand that, but we also, again, cited some principles for acquiescence. You know, the county had reasonable knowledge of the use of this property and sat on their heels. So there's also that flip side of the argument.
All right. Okay. Sorry to put you on the spot on that, but I it's probably been since law school days
that
came up. So. You're a lot smarter than I am, so I thought maybe you'd have some something more current. All right, thank you very much. Is there anything further from the county?
If I could make some argument, Mr. Hearing Examiner,
yes.
Again, Marcus Foster on behalf of the county. Well, there's a lot from what Ms. Norton said, and I think you hit the nail on the head that ignorance of the law is no defense. This is equivalent to the speed limit changing and somebody saying, well, I've been speeding through here for years and you haven't caught me yet. Therefore, I'm allowed to keep speeding through here. It just doesn't stand. It's not in the record, but I'd just like to note that I do believe that around 2008 or 2009, notice was sent to every member or every residence in the Manson UGA of this new requirement for a vacation rental permit. It was in that time frame. Unfortunately, we don't have that document in the record, but I'd just like to note that. And it was for that very reason, to put everyone on notice that they were going to have to get these new permits. So Mr. Bernstein did have at least constructive notice of this and probably actual notice. In addition, there was that many
just for the record and for Ms. Norton's, it's not in the record. I'm not going to consider that, Mr. Foster. So
okay.
I'm just letting you know that. You want to keep ask to keep the record open to put something in the record to justify that, but it's and I know you're speaking in rebuttal to the appellant's position that we should have given them notice, but there's nothing in the record unless you want to be sworn in as a witness and testify or if somebody else wants to.
Okay. Mr. Hearing Examiner, we just asked to keep the record open to the end of the day then, because we can get a copy of that card that was sent to every member of the Manson UGA. But regardless, I mean, Mr. Bernstein had years to come into compliance with this. Had he gotten it in 2018, he would have been 19. He would have been allowed to continue to operate, but he failed to do so. The issue of curing this, the code is specific that you can cure certain issues such as parking or minor getting signs together, doing various things. It's specific that you can't cure this not having a VR permit. In addition, Ms. Norton says, well, it doesn't, VR permit doesn't exist anymore. Of course it doesn't. The STR permit replaces the VR permit for the whole county, including the Manson UGA. As to the Growth Management Hearing Board case, I'm working on that case right now. That decision won't come out until sometime around March 28th. So if there's any argument about keeping the record open that long, I would object to that. But I'd renew my request to keep it open to the end of the day.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Foster. Ms. Norton.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I'll just briefly respond. I mean, we're not aware of any letter that was sent to property owners in 2008, and certainly had he been made aware, there would have been compliance. You know, you cited the ignorance of the law. You know, equally in this is legal non-conforming uses should not be summarily terminated, and there's a Snohomish County case 136 Wynn 2D Supreme Court case that generally
what's the page
136 Wynn 2D 1 page 7 stands for the proposition that protected nonconforming uses should be allowed to continue to exist, and that's ultimately what this was. It was a legal non-conforming use. It wasn't given a reasonable opportunity for phase out. And again, it was actually conforming to the zone. So the only reason that it was non-conforming is this ministerial permit requirement, which, as they mentioned, doesn't exist anymore. So unlike other owners in the county that are being allowed to cure ADUs that are non-compliant or other significant code violations, he can't purchase after the fact this permit. There's nothing he can do. And it's egregious in this context. And, you know, we're aware ignorance of the law and the speeding issue, but there's also other laws that protect the property owners, such as the phasing of non-conforming uses, the takings, deprivations of property rights, those types of statutes that also have to balance an application. And again, this inability to cure was made during the moratorium process. There wasn't an opportunity. It's like the county sat down with records and said, hey, how do we prevent as many of these as possible from, you know, with a full map of all the properties, how do we prevent as many of these as being able to cure as possible so we can just wipe them out? Because they're doing this with all the mapping. And these regulations are changing with all the mapping in their hands. So when the moratorium existed, it didn't say anything about you're not able to cure and buy a permit. That's just the natural effect or consequence of a moratorium. But it was during the period the moratorium was in place. And a moratorium is usually intended to stop current or proposed future uses, not obliterate all your existing uses. And in this case, it not only declared the use non-conforming, but it summarily terminated it all before this owner was given a reasonable opportunity to cure, which is an opportunity that other owners in the area, in the county, are being given through various other provisions in this code and whatnot. So it's you know, I understand your relief is limited in what you can do, but we do believe you can deny this or reverse the denial and condition it on repayment of the past taxes, because again, it doesn't even apply anymore. And then I would just object to, you know, if the county comes up with this letter, I'd like an opportunity to potentially respond to it, because, you know, of course, this is the first we've ever heard of it, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, and I certainly would allow that. Okay, anything else from the appellant at this time?
That's all.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I am going to keep the record open until 5 p.m. today for the county to submit any documentary or testimony by declaration regarding specifically the allegation that's been made that notice was provided to UGA residents. And I don't know if this is going to be, there's a specific mailing list or if it's just going to be something. I don't know what it's going to be because I haven't seen it either. I'm thinking giving you, Ms. Norton, until Friday at 5 p.m. to provide a response. Is that enough time, or would you like more time to be able to review this and consult with your client and put together whatever evidentiary or legal response you wish to make?
I could shoot for Friday, but could Monday?
Let's 5 do p.m.? Monday. Let's okay. do Monday, and that is February 4th, 5th, 6th. Is that February 7th?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't have my calendar up, but I'll confirm it. It is the 7th. So 7th at 5 p.m. Yeah. And if you need more time, then ask for it. That's fine. Okay. All right. So with that, the record will remain open for those limited purposes. Is there anything further from the county on this?
No, Mr. Hearing Examiner. We expect to have something in by the end of the day, possibly a declaration along with a document.
Okay. All right, thank you. Anything further from the appellant, applicant on this matter? Nothing further. Okay. So anyway, the record will be kept open for those purposes. Mr. Bernstein, I know you didn't provide any testimony. It's good to see you. Thank you for coming to the hearing today. I do appreciate even though you're represented, that you've taken the time out of your busy day to come here too. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hearing Examiner.
You're welcome. All right, with that, there's no other business to attend to today. So I'm now going to adjourn this February 2nd, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. I hope you all have a very, very good day and rest of your week. Take care. Have a good day.